Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I'm
Hello, that was The Words You Cannot Say Better by our very own Jay Hatter with the musical stylings of Shout Even Shy. Welcome to a pretty sweet tease. I am one of your hostesses. I am Pretty Bird, and the illustrious Sweet Pea will be joining us a little later. Tonight, we are talking about all those little things that get you in the mood, the anticipation, the allure of desire. You know, because for me, it starts with a glance. It can be something early in the day, the way they brush up against you, you know, when you're brushing your teeth, any little thing that gives you just a little hint and builds on it throughout the day, whether it's cute little texts, those I can't wait to see you, those I have a surprise, all those little things that kind of build up to the evening and all of the deliciousness that ensues. So my wingman tonight until Sweet Pea gets here, well, all the time really, is Raconteur. Say hello, hello.
Hello, hello. Nice to be on. Nice to be a feather in your wing.
Well, there you go. Glad to have you. As always, you bring a little touch of naughty with that sexy voice of yours. So it's always a pleasure. And let's welcome 570. if my computer will click on it, because for some reason, every time it rains here, Blog Talk does not, you know, get along with my computer very well. It's already kicked me off once, but I'm glad I made it back.
Oh, boy.
So 570, hello, hello, who do we have?
This is Heavenly Angel.
Oh, my goodness, how are you? I'm so excited. I'm so excited. So what are your thoughts, Heavenly Angel, on anticipation?
Well, the anticipation is, that's the very core of it. Get all, that's just the core. That's all I'm going to say. That's the core of it.
I absolutely concur because, you know, it's never just about, you know, getting the job done because, you know, it's not all about the business. You know, it's all about the tease, basically, the lead in, the intro, the precursors, so to speak. And I absolutely love that. And I don't think that, and I'm just going to be a little bit of an ageist, but I don't think that the younger generation really understands, like completely grasps the value of that, those little hints, those little teases, those little bits of fun that kind of walk you through the day, that by the time you see them at the end of the day or whenever it is, you know, that there's a whole lot of work to be done to get down to business, you know? So,
exactly. Yeah. We're in a world of instant gratification.
We really, really do. Everything is now, 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 now. And if they have to wait 30 seconds, you know, it's too long and they just don't know what they're missing. And it's not really something that you can just teach, or you, I mean, you can tell the 20 somethings all you want, take your time, slow it down, you know, all of this stuff. But it's something that I think people need to learn on an individual basis, you know, because don't get me wrong, there is definitely a time for, you know, let's get it on. But, you know, generally speaking, it's all those little things that kind of make the experience more well-rounded, more full, more of a full-bodied, like, kind of a transition from the physical. And that is something that is learned by doing. You learn in trial and error. You learn the things that you like and you don't like. And it's different for everybody. But I do not envy the youngsters because, you know, It sure is nice when you know. I'm just saying. And it really is. And I am so excited to have you here. And I don't know that I've ever been on a call with you. I don't remember.
No, ma'am, you have not. This is my first time.
I'm so excited. This is me clapping in case you're wondering what that is. And I'm so excited. You see, we have done a lot of invitation-only shows, you know, and so we've had a lot of discussions on different types of, I'll use that word precursors again, because it's a nice benign word, but there's something to be said for, maybe I should call it, you know, pre-foreplay, because it's not necessarily a physical thing. It's a verbal thing. Let me tell you what, there's nothing like a text in the middle of the afternoon saying, you know, prepare. And whatever little ways, it's even the little thinking of yous, I love yous for no reason, that build up that affection and just make you want to please. And there's an art to all of that. There is these little nuances and little delicate points, these where your hair stands up different just in thought. And
when you get the goosebumps.
The goosebumps,
see,
that's
are like
that's the best.
It's
the hint of more. It's not even the promise. The promise is even, you know, ooh, you're going to get it. And like, yes, I am. Thank you very much. It's that hint, those glances. Okay, I'm going to tell you a little something. I hate Thanksgiving for this reason. turkeys are heavy. I am clumsy. Every time I go to pull a turkey specifically, out of the oven, my husband goes nuts. So I can't, like I have to make sure he's nowhere near the kitchen, that I have to open it really really quietly, because if he hears it, he'll just be like, because you have to, there's a way to get a turkey out of the oven. And to me, it's indelicate and ungraceful. But apparently, to him, it's something else. And not for nothing, don't touch it. I've got hot food in my hands. It is not okay. And so those little hints of whatever it is that people pick up on look different for everybody. But it's those times, if you share a bathroom and you guys are brushing your teeth kind of and it overlaps, and instead of looking at themselves, you look up in the mirror and you see them brushing their teeth but glancing at you and they've got that look, even that can be sexy. I think you have an actual poem about that, Rack. Something about
the dental floss.
Yeah. And
someone challenged me on that one.
The one someone challenged you what?
They challenged me. I was like, I can make anything dirty. And they were like, even dental floss.
And he did. He absolutely did. And we're not talking the plaque variety. But he's right. Anything, any little thing. I know that I have a naughty lip. It has been called a naughty lip. I didn't know I did this till it was called to my attention and made me self-conscious. when I am playful, my lip drops and goes a little bit sideways. Like my bottom lip, it gets really pouty and it's a little off center. And I didn't know this, but apparently I have a naughty lip. I've got to tell. Who knew? I was like, and my whole life, the entire world could probably see it on my face, and I had no stinking clue. So that's not embarrassing. It's fine. but it's those little things, like when they drag their teeth across their lip, or I have a thing for glasses. Like if they're wearing glasses, like they usually don't wear. Like my husband does not usually wear glasses, but if he's reading, he'll put them on. I'm like, ooh, Clark Kent, hello, and it's just like, to stand there and watch. And if he catches me watching him, he's just like, well, hello, and that's how that goes. And it doesn't take a whole lot. I think that sometimes people think that anticipation is all those romantic grand gestures, all those little things, all those rose petals. I'm like, don't kill the flowers. You're fine. I don't need them because it's a mess to clean up. Like, with the follow this and do that. And there's something to be said for romance. I like romance, but I like the subtleties of knowing, the glances from across the room, the way they rub their finger on the rim of their glass when they're talking to you, and it's a little bit absent-minded. All those little things that pull focus build heat. And so what a wonderful lead-in to A Night of Passion. And this actually came about from last week's discussion at the beginning of the show when I mentioned the word, and Rack went into his ketchup commercial with the anticipation. It's like, absolutely, and it's stuck in my brain. And so, of course, we are all about the precursors. So let's get into some poetry. Did you want to read first, Heavenly Angel?
Yes.
Absolutely. Give me 1 second to just put it up. I have to put a little thing on the board first. And there's that. And now let me go. My computer is very slow today. I was like all road rage at it. Ask Rack. He had called in before the show started. And I'm all cursing at it and threatening to do very vile things to it because it was not doing anything. It seems to work, but a little threatening never hurt anybody because it's doing all right now. So we're so long as it lasts the 2 hours for the show, I'm fine. It can have a spaz later.
There we go. Okay.
And you are up on the board.
Okay. Well, appropriately enough, my poem is titled
the anticipation. Standing before him, there, I tremble in delight and anticipation. As his eyes travel over my body, I tremble. I know soon he'll seek his gratification. His eyes are dark with passion, and beads of glistening sweat appear on his lip. I know that soon we'll be joined as one, but my body he will taste and sip. His kisses become more insistent, and his hands begin a suggestive caress. Slow, tantalizing, alluring touch, enticing pleasure with such brazen finesse. The chills begin to pierce my skin as I fantasize our bodies intertwined. It's more than I can anticipate. He will sip of me as savoring a vintage wine. Coming together as one, the crescendo of climatic fulfillment, oh, the flavor of sweet release, the lust and thirst for more of him as he hungrily satisfies my needs. Over and over again, delicate traces of tongue cover my body. I want this amount of passion to never come to an end. End of poem.
Okay, so I'm going to let Rack have the first comments because I've got words that will probably last me 10 minutes. So, Rack and Tor, what are your thoughts?
Oh, sure. Throw me right into this. I love the way you write. You've got a view of romance that's so relatable. You know, from when I first joined the site, you know, they were always touting you as the queen of romance. And, you know, it's easy to see in this, you know, the way that you feel about, you know, this type of thing. It's not a casual thing. It's a very personal thing. There's a beauty involved in it. And even in the last ending idea of the night never ending, even that's a form of anticipation because, you know, you're wondering when you're going to become exhausted and fall asleep in each other's arms. So that's a sense of anticipation on top of everything else. But I mean, the feeling of being loved and cherished and all of that lies within these words for me. I could see, you know, it's something that's not, you know, just a lustful thing. It is something a lot more to it for you, and it comes out in the way that you write it. It's really very beautiful.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
And let's say hello to Miss Deborah Lee. Hey, Deb.
Hello. Are you? Am I seeing here that I missed Angel Reading?
Yes, you missed Angel Reading.
And it was awesome. I haven't had a chance to comment yet, but it was awesome.
Wow. I'm jealous.
And we have Miss Lady A with us. Hey, Lady A.
Hello. And I missed her, too. I feel very badly about that.
Hey, Lady A.
She was awesome.
Great for your voice.
I know, right? I'm so excited. And, you know, I did a jig. I can't lie. And so about this poem, Angel, let me just say a few things. First of all, from most of the work that I have read from you, there's a softness to the way you write. Your love is this profoundly kind of in-depth and very romantic kind of way you develop your images. And when it's the sadder side of things, again, there's a certain softness to it, even though there's a depth to the pain. So this would be the very first female one that I have ever read of yours. I'm so glad that you read it. And so let's just dive right in with you. Just, there are no holds bars. You're standing there naked. And that is quite the visual eye opener because it takes a lot. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how long you've been with your person. Some days, you know, just to stand there before them, it takes a lot. That's a very trusting thing. And to do it happily, knowing that his eyes are devouring every little nuance, every inch, every little everything. That is just steamy. And the line that got me was this very next one. His eyes are dark with passion. I mind you that they get fully black. like my, because I have brown eyes, but you can't discern my pupils. And I've only ever seen that in one person in my entire life. And let me tell you what, whenever they would get that kind of obsidian, I was like, oh, okay. Because, you know, it's very primal. This is very... It's not something that they can control. It's not something that they can hide. It's a hunger that just fills the air, and it's something very, very exciting about that. Then you've got that sweat, and you've got those kisses that become more insistent. And we were just discussing this a little while back, Lady A, if you remember, the good kiss where – you know, it's nice to be delicate every now and then, but when it starts to build with intensity, where it's, all right, I'm not going to rush in, but I'm definitely going to feast, that is like the best thing ever. You just touch on all the good stuff in here. You've got the chills. You've got the forethought where your mind already takes you where your body's headed. It is just amazing. And the ending of this, this over and over again, delicate traces of tongue cover my body. Whew, girl, let me tell you what, you turn up the heat very, very well. I am very impressed with this, with this little, well, you know, you did say that sometimes you write sensual. I would say, yes, you do, and very well.
Thank you.
You are very welcome. I am so thrilled. Deborah, Lady A, did you get a chance to look it over?
I did, but I'm going to put a request in for her to read it again. Is that possible?
Sure. I'll read it again. If you guys think there's plenty of time, I'll read it again.
I'm sure there is. Go right ahead.
Okay. Great. Hang on. Let me get back over here to it. Dun, 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 dun. Okay, computer. I think Pretty Bird, I think you rubbed your slowness off on me. Okay, there we go. Okay. The anticipation. Standing before him, there, I tremble in delight in anticipation. As his eyes travel over my body, I tremble. I know soon he'll seek his gratification. His eyes are dark with passion, and beads of glistened sweat appear on his lip. I know that soon we'll be joined as one. Of my body, he will taste and sip. His kisses become more insistent, and his hands begin a suggestive caress, slow, tantalizing, alluring touch, enticing pleasure with such brazen finesse. The chills begin to pierce my skin as I fantasize our bodies intertwined. It's more than I can anticipate. He will sip of me as savoring of fine vintage wine. Coming together as one, the crescendo of poetic fulfillment. Oh, the flavor of sweet release. The lust and thirst for more of him as he hungrily satisfies my needs. Over and over again, delicate traces of tongue cover my body. I want this night of passion to never come to an end. End of poem.
So wonderful to hear that again. I'm so glad they got a chance to do that. So, Deb, what are your thoughts on the sexy angel?
Well, Angel, I'm really impressed, and it's so, so nice to hear your voice, for starters, and your poem. Like, I have the section, I have to just use the one that I just commented on, because, like, it's really... where is it? The chills begin to pierce my skin as I fantasize our bodies intertwined. It's more than I can anticipate. He will sip of me as savoring a vintage wine. The visuals, the feel, the heat, the sensuality oozes from that stanza, from the poem. But yet your flair for, and I believe Pretty Bird already touched on it, on the love and romance intermingled with everything too. So I think that you did a great job, and one more time, it was awesome to hear you read.
Thank you, Deb.
And Lady A, your thoughts?
Well, I agree with Deb, but this was really beautiful, and it was fantastic to hear you speaking in your own voice and reading this. I think there was a delicacy to this. I think there was certainly anticipation, and there was a sensuality that was classy and written in that way as well. And but also you could feel the love, the affection, the lustiness of it, and this whole piece was just a real treat to read and to hear you read it. So congratulations on calling in, and this poem is lovely.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Awesome. You see, I'm so excited. I do not hide things very well. And so, you know, I hide nothing well, so when it's on my face, I guess it's on my face. So those people aren't wrong. Naughty lips flowing, naughty lips flowing. And I put Titus on the board, and we have a SoundCloud for him, so just let me know when you guys see him. You guys got it? Perfect. Here we go.
Reluctant pose. And with restriction, does the pose withhold my having nothing on? Consume or thought completely, overawed by this distraught affection, posing as I have been bold, you leer at the suggestion laying down. As now disrupted things, I do declare us having an affair, or worse, I dare conveniently towards you move thy gown. If shyness were sufficient to thy needs, then nothing, I mean nothing more, I pray, would lead me to this sin of disarray. To paint you, is it not enough, I plead? And whilst assuring both to moral sound, I think it would be best you turn around.
Wow. I do so enjoy Sexy Titus. I really, really do. There is, you know, he does sexy on a whole other level. He is so delicate and metaphorical and beautiful about it, that your body almost reacts before your mind has a chance to fully grasp the beauty in it. And when it catches up, it's like, oh my. And I love this. I love this. I love this. His prompt for this was modesty. And I love that. I mean, and with restriction, does the pose withhold my having nothing on? Consume more thought. And, you know, and sometimes that's exactly what happens, because, you know, those little things, those when you can't touch, or when it's just barely covered, or when there's a hint of things, it'll drive you to distraction. And he does this very, very well, where you know, you leer at the suggestion laying down, has now disrupted things, I do declare. I love that, because, you know, whether you're actually painting someone and you're not supposed to be all sexy about it, I mean, the body does what the body does, you know? And or it's, again, those subtleties, those little hints of things, the way the cloth lays over a bosom, the way the sunlight catches a piece of fabric and you can see a silhouette. All of those little things have a huge impact on mood and desire. And he just does this so well. Rack and Tour, what are your thoughts on Titus Degree?
Yeah. He's got a way of painting a picture that stays with you. The imagery is absolutely stunning, and the idea of the hinting and the leading, I'm having a brain fart over here. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, it's easy to get a little bit lost and it's a little swoony the way he reads and writes. It kind of carries you off. It's almost it's ethereal in a way where it's you get wrapped up in this like diaphanous mood. It's beautiful, and so I too have many a times been listening to Titus and been a little tongue tied. So Deborah Lee, what are your thoughts?
Well, for starters, it's always so nice to listen to him read. I like the way he pronounces his words and stuff. And then to the poem, I like how it starts, and with restriction, does the post withhold my having nothing on? And just the visuals right there, you know, how can you not grin? You're thinking, you know, I mean, you're just, personally, I'm used to his more non- easing starts, so that made me smile. Anyway, the visuals that he put in, you leer at the suggested laying down. If shyness were sufficient to thy need, then nothing, I mean nothing more, I pray. I'm like, wow, I think that this brevity is fantastic. And I'm doubling down on getting to hear him read. It's really an awesome thing.
Absolutely. And Angel, what are your thoughts?
I have to agree with Deb about the shy line. That was just so subtly sexy. That in itself, just that line right there would put goosebumps. I would be like, oh, hell yeah. I thought it was just an ultra-sexy, wonderfully written piece.
I fully concur. And Lady A, what are your thoughts?
I'll just read to you what I wrote in the note. Is a fantastic look into the mind of the artist, wrestling with desire and morals. Painting her body fulfills a fantasy, yet she must turn around. I love it.
See, and he does. There was a subtlety to his words, but the anticipation is there. The hope of a hint of more. The barely able to contain the need to have her turn around. All of that is beautifully and delicately done. I am nowhere near that delicate. A lot of times I'm highly indelicate, and I'm okay with that. But it doesn't mean I can't appreciate the beauty in it because. You know, I kind of like those who write completely different than me because, and I know my limits, you know, I really do. And I can't be quite that, lovely. So I absolutely embrace the ability that he has to do that. So on the board is my little addition to this week. Let me know when you see it. Awesome. And then after me, Deb, I will put you right up. And this is called This Is How I Love You. And it goes like this. It all begins with a tease of the senses, the building of layers and moments that permeate thought like a dream before I rise, as night wings its way into morning, watching you sleep in the sweetest kitten purrs. I stroke your sweet face and know that today is more than a quick squeezing of minutes, hours punctuated in moments of affection that look like nothing on the surface, but land deeply beneath the skin, always on my mind, longing. Today, I wear a lace and a smile and trace outlines in your favorite perfume, a gentle stroke of a hand at the small of your back as we pass in the hallway. Sparkling eyes and a pout caught in gentle teeth pull your attention in silent breath. I twirl my hair around my finger and you run your thumb across my jaw. We pass too closely in the kitchen where taste melts into scent and the heated air lands on wanting skin, where great conversation plays laughter that sounds like crystal songs. Soft jazz that taints the air, sultry but doesn't overwhelm the sound of your quickened breath as your lips gently tease mine open. As a kiss leads into anticipation and anticipation kicks up desire and pools, awaiting the tender attention of warm skin. Each minute interaction a lesson in catharsis and synergy. Love is never meant to be just a word, rather an experience where a full body marries the energy of a being both within and without. An explosion of connections profound enough to swallow pain. It all begins with a tease of the senses, the building of layers and memories that permeate thought, artfully sculpting time into tomorrow's reminiscence. End poem.
Wow.
This is definitely somebody that knows what they're doing. It sounds like almost conducting an orchestra to me. You know, you've got a beginning idea of, you know, the swell of the music and a definite direction that you want to take things. You know, you're going to allow it to crescendo here and then lower it here and until you're ready for the final conclusion. This is absolutely stunning, the way that you do this, and you do this all the time to me. I mean, the little things that you mentioned that are, you know, absolutely relatable, and you know, I mean, rubbing your thumb across somebody's jaw—it sounds like a simple little intimate action, but you know, there's something to that that just, to me, speaks volumes. I don't know. Intimate is the only word I could really come up with for that. It's something that just, I don't know. There's that spark of electricity when you have that bit of contact at that moment, and you know, you don't really act on it yet, and then there's the build up until you're ready to act on it. You do a wonderful job, as always.
Thank
Deb, save
you.
Me.
Yeah, I actually remember this one from the first time, and this happens often to me, but I like when it hits that way. My favorite piece of the poem is the same both times. It's like, wowza, sparkling eyes and a pout caught in gentle teeth. Pull your attention in silent breath. I twirl my hair around my finger and you run your thumb across my jaw. You touched on that too, on the intimacy and stuff there. But yeah, the whole thing is great and shows tenderness and love in between the T's, but I, something about that piece, that part of the piece screen.
Thank you.
Yeah. And Angel, can you comment for Pretty Bird?
Oh my goodness, good gracious, doobly-goo. Oh, I loved every line. Honestly, Pretty Bird, I loved every single line of this. It was just oozing with romance. And, I mean, for me, that is 99% of the act is the romance, the anticipation mixed in with just sheer romance. That's 99% of what makes it for me. And you wrote all the love and romance in there that, wow. I mean, it was bursting at the seams. I loved it. Love
wow.
it.
Wow. Oh, thank you. That's awesome.
And Lady A, your comment.
Well, I thought it was stunning, and I loved your word choices. I love the repetition of the first verse. With the first line, it all begins with the T's of the senses, and you brought that forward in the last verse. And I love the line, the building of layers and memories. I thought that was really great. And in that whole verse, that last verse, that permeate thought, artfully sculpting time into tomorrow's reminiscence. A really excellent pen. Beautiful piece.
Thank you. You guys are awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah, you know, I loved this week's theme, that whole lead in to desire, because if they do their job right, or if we all do our job right, then by the time we get to the goods, you know, you're halfway there. You know, it shouldn't be that hard to be all, you know, ready. It, and so when you go and you have those little eye contacts, those subtle touches, those little movements, then it just makes for, you know, I'm just going to say ease of use. Because, you know, it just makes things just flow more organically without any hiccups or having to force anything. Because, you know, the body will react how the body reacts, which is all well and good. But if you can get halfway there without ever really touching things, then that is amazing. That those are the nights where everything is kicked up a notch, where by the time you get to the actual impassioned moment, it is so far above the act itself that it's transcendent and beautiful. And so I kind of like all the little things, you know?
When you're involved in a relationship with someone, there's that familiarity that you get to play upon the inside, I'll say jokes, but, you know, the inside things that, you know, nobody else knows, the things that you pick up because you're familiar with the person and you know what that means where someone else wouldn't, gets amplified, you know, like you said, and that's what builds on that anticipation as well, and enables you to take advantage of something like that too. You know, it's like, you know, some people look at you like you're strange and say, you know, that there's nothing sexy about running your finger over a glass. And meanwhile, you know, knowing the person, you're like, you know, oh, but she only does that.
Like, the hell
are
you saying?
Yeah, really, really.
Because you're doing it wrong. And so you are on the board, Deb. So whenever you're ready.
Okay, thank you.
I am digging that picture.
Help yourself.
Mm-hmm.
This is called Can Anticipation Lead to Insanity? There we go. Soft rock plays on the satellite radio station and the stereo surround sound speakers. As brain drifts to you, igniting my stimulation, now the fire that is simmering in me stirs. Standing in the kitchen, kneading bread dough to bake with the trays of lasagna in the oven. A pot of minestrone sits on the stove, sit low, blending aromas that perfume air in the den. The ringtone from the cell phone announces you, then as you speak, the anticipation in me grows. I'm starting the butterflies, then pulse races too, and flesh flushes, blushing with hot tints of rose. Chardonnay is sitting out with the aphrodisiacs on the wooden side server in the dining room. Tabletop set for two and the mink candles drip wax. You drive up just as I spritz on my musk perfume. My palms sweat as you step into the doorway and twin grins spread as eyes meet in a stare. I plate the feast and you pour wine for the buffet, inhaling as the spiced cologne you wear fills the air. Little hummed moans escape lips with every bite. Savory flavors detonate, sliding over the taste buds. Butter drips and you lick my fingertips. Flames ignite, scorching blood in my veins and now my pulse buds. Anticipation fuels arousal and the temperature climbs, nibbling on chocolate-coated pineapples as we tease. Pulling me to my feet to dance as you whisper rhymes, nipping my earlobes, you trigger the wobble in my knees. Turnabout rotations drive the magnetism overload. Tongues lick, mouth suckle, nails claw and teeth nip. The anticipation plateaued and then to explode, raving in the naked origami, dip, slide, glide, and slip, and pull.
You know, you set You set the ambiance from the with all those little subtle things, all those things, knowing that they're going to come there, and everything's going to be laid out, and food, by the way, there are certain scents that waft that just, you know, they say the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. And I say the way to everybody's heart is through their stomach, because a good meal can do a whole heck of a lot. And if you're sexy, half naked or whatnot, it can do a whole heck of a lot more. But you set the mood, the exhilaration of the phone call and those, that flesh flushing and those hot hints of rose is really quite amazing. But where is it? Where is it? Little hummed moans escape lips with every bite. Savory flavors detonate, sliding over the taste buds. Butter drips and you lick my fingertips. Flames ignite, scorching blood in my veins, and now my pulse buds. And here's the thing. I don't know what that butter's on, and it could be food. It could be something else. I don't give a darn. It is primally feast-worthy. And it's just those hummed moans. There is something. When they escape, not the ones that are meant to guide pleasure, but the ones that they can't help, that just kind of come out of nowhere and surprise even themselves, that's the good stuff. That's when you know it is overflowing. That's when you know it's coming. It we're going to get there. And it is really just a wonderful buildup. And when the end of this with the origami dip, slide, glide, and slip, yes, ma'am, because that slip and slide is, well, that is the ultimate destination, is it not? And Miss Lady A, what are your thoughts?
Thank you much.
You're welcome.
Sorry, I've lost track of myself. I thought this was great. I thought that the colors that are used are a staple for Deb, and I thought that the meaning of it was felt throughout the poem, and I like how it ended, and raving in the naked origami, dip, slide, glide, and slip. I thought that was terrific.
Thank you very much.
And Raconteur, what are your thoughts? Can anticipation drive you insane?
Well, I mean, she started with food, so you can't go wrong there. I mean, for me, that's, you know, the ultimate invite. I almost can forget to get the rest, but there's a natural expression for this. I don't, you know, I think of food more like an aphrodisiac, really, than anything else, too. I mean, you know, you eat to live, live to eat. The way that you have the whole evening playing out, you know, he gets there and the little kiss at the door and everything else, and then, you know, you share the food, and he's licking fingers, and then you're dancing, and then the description of the ending, very descriptive, but still modest at the same time. You manage to convey a lot with the words that you use without, you know, being overly suggestive, and it was just simply beautiful.
Awesome. And Angel, what are your thoughts on Deb's sexiness?
Well, part of my comment to Deb was, if the anticipation can drive you insane, bring on the insanity, because, wow. the palm sweat as he steps into the doorway, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's the start of it. And then where it says anticipation fuels arousal, I can't speak. And that whole stanza, I mean, that just cinched it. Wow. So ultra sexy, but like Rack said, I'm modestly sexy. Yeah, again, if anticipation can drive you insane, commit me now.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Thank you, Angel. Mm-hmm. Hey, pretty bird.
Yes?
Did you notice that in my last stanza, the first word is turnabout?
Yes.
We all know what turnabout means, correct?
Yes.
Okay, well, if you take a peek at the board, and then in your studio, you push the little button at the very top that says, do not delete. There just might be a surprise there for you, dear heart.
Oh, my. All right. I don't know what that is, but I'll play it. Here we go.
Letters to my lover, 26. You touched me first in wits and wiles, and inside of an inferno, in hazel-eyed desire. There was no warning for the truth in proximity, where I felt you before I saw you. Time as fluid as my desire at the reality of a universe in dreams, dead to life. Then you touched me. The stroke of your thumb grazed my cheek in live wire sparks that galvanized life through cells dormant. Lips on my forehead in affection for the girl thought lost in a woman that hadn't found her voice. The cream of your skin against my café gondolé danced in time to hearts united. Love came first. Feeding bliss impassioned by scented air, catching the night sky on glass water, with breeze bay water dreams, basking in the fact that reality far exceeds expectation. Carry me in steam remembered, as I stir in slumbered thoughts that pour you into my flesh. Fire charred glances that see my love, in open air abandon. At your bedside I watch your chest rise in kitten-purred dreams, lingering sensations of lips against your forehead as you waken, wrapped in my warm affection for the boy thought lost in a man who used to feel alone, distant, a mere obstacle bound by time that will never conquer nor quell galvanized souls. No other can bridge the gaps in proximity, wrapped in the dream of reality tasted. Every night we share the moon and count the stars that fill the ether of our truth.
Oh.
You know, he is a tricky guy, isn't he? What
he is.
What I find phenomenally, there's a word that I can't even, coincidental is this. That was my backup poem for tonight. If like that's what I was, what I have in the wings that I was going to read should we have more time than we had poems. And so I find that to be just a wonderful coincidence because I wouldn't have read it like that because I can't do Titus, you know? What a wonderful, beautiful surprise. I love this poem. All of the whole entire Letters to My Lover series are very, 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 very personal to me. And they all carry great weight and great meaning. And what a wonderful thing to hear it read like that. What a wonderful surprise. I got a little weepy, but I reined myself in, you know, in all honesty. I was just like, oh, and I got a little weepy. But I love that poem. That is one of my favorites in the series, because most of them aren't very sensual. They're just, you know, some of them are a lot harder than others, but they're all very honest. And what a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing to have as a gift. And I need to attach that SoundCloud to my poem, because how awesome is that? I am, you know, it's like Christmas, so thank you, Titus. My goodness, how lovely. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. It was so fun being his conspirator, so I've been waiting for this for days. Isn't it surreal to sit and listen to him read your words?
It's kind of surreal. It's just, it's quite lovely. What was that you said? Was that you, Angel?
Angel is
Angel is jumping up and down to do a comment. Can I please? Thank you.
Yes.
I'm literally jumping up and down.
That's awesome.
First of all, I met my significant other. He lived in Pennsylvania and I lived in Texas. So we were distant. And now I live in Pennsylvania. I have now for the last 14 years. But anyway, so the last six lines really, oh my goodness, distance a mere obstacle bound by time that will never conquer nor quell galvanized souls. No other can bridge the gaps in proximity, wrapped in the dream of reality tasted. Oh, my goodness. I got chill bumps. Every night we share the moon and count the stars that fill. Oh my goodness gracious, big googly goo. That was just us. I mean, point blank, period. That was just us. And, oh, see, I'm getting even a little teary. That was just. Oh, awesome.
Oh, thank you. That's fabulous. You know, it's not an easy place to be when, for whatever reason, for whatever amount of time, you are separated from pieces of you. And it's not necessarily a romantic thing. It can be anybody that is a piece of you. It is a very difficult thing. And sometimes it ruins things. Sometimes it makes it better. But in either case, it's not easy. And I love that this moved you, that it felt familiar, that is like magic to me. That's like the best part of anything that we write is when it touches somebody, you know? So I'm so truly, truly excited. And Deb, would you mind running comments? Oh, Deb dropped. Rack, can you run the rest of the comments for me? I guess, well, Lady A, go ahead, and because Deb dropped, and Rack, you have to do it to both of y'all. Just talk at will. You're good. I'm a little tongue-tied.
Yeah, I can see why. I mean, I remember this one. I've always been a little jealous of some of your love letters, you know. Who wouldn't want to be the object of your affection? You know, the way that you write, you know, that there's that promise, that anticipation of not just gratification, but fulfillment, I think. You've got a unique mind and a beautiful way of expressing yourself, and it comes out very much in the words. And, you know, even the little inside things that you share that are kind of meant to be a nod to the person that you're writing for, sometimes even that slips out, and it still you can't help but smile at the thoughts of it. It's really wonderfully intimate and wonderfully beautiful at the same time to be able to see it. You know, I could feel you smile. I really can. And you know, I can't help but smile along with you. Lady A, what'd you think?
Oh, I thought it was stunning, and to hear him read it was amazing. But I was quite a few lines in here that I could relate to a lot of poem, and well, at the beginning, but in particular, the distance of mere obstacle.
You're breaking up, Lady A. I didn't hear anything after you were talking about the distance is mere obstacle.
I hear a TV in the background, too. I don't know if everybody else hears that, but there's some noise in the background. But anyway, it says, you wrote here, distance, a mere obstacle bound by time that will never conquer nor quell galvanized souls. And I can totally relate to that. And the very last couplet, and every night we share the moon and count the stars that fill the ether of our truth. I thought this was fantastically beautiful.
Thank you so much. And not that I think people don't know anything about what I'm writing, but galvanization, just so that everybody knows, is kind of Frankenstein. It's kind of the adding of electricity to revive things, the word that I'm thinking of is not rolling off my tongue because apparently it's not working today. But that's pretty much what that is, it's kind of like when you shock your heart, it's adding electricity to restart life. And you know, we've all met people, whether they are friends, whether they are whatever they are, that just you meet and it's like you've known them forever, and that you've got these like sparks of familiarity. So that's what that means to me. And in the sensual concept, sometimes those sparks are more than just familiar. And so I just wanted to, you know, explain that. Not that I felt the need that like nobody understood. I just wanted to, you know, I can't help it. I just talk. And Miss Lady A, your poem is on the board if you are ready to read.
Hey, pretty
ooh,
bird, just saw
you. Yes, I put it in the studio. You will be next.
Okay.
And, uh-huh. I didn't forget you, darling. Oh, you guys always have such nice, sexy pictures.
You're too stressed to see.
Oh, I have been very stressed. My computer was flipping out on me before we started, but it's calm. It's behaving. I ain't mad. We're good. And so, I already love your title, Lady A. Let's hear it.
Hey, thanks. It's called Virginal Innocence. Imagination, the sexiest part of our being, fantasies, foreseeing, dreams of love, sometimes a sensual tryst, sans commitment, bliss. Inspiration, song, movie pictures, imageries of silhouettes and full figures. His hand upon my breast, tongue sweeps across mounds, peaks, back arches, squirms, his eyes watching every move. I wonder, imagine, what it's like to be feel such passion. Virginal innocence yearning for artful prowess. Desire for skin on skin, finding pleasure in the sin we're in. Masterful finesse to sweetly caress the petals open. I acquiesce. Anticipation. And poem.
You know, this reminds me of when I was but a lass. And here's the thing. You know what horny looks like to other people, like on other people. Like you'd be like, well, somebody needs to get a piece. But if you've never, if your life has not yet entered the physical sexual realm, you don't really know what your body's doing. You don't really get it. You can't tell that the whole entire world knows you're horny because you don't know you're horny. Okay, so this is what this reminds me of, because I was very technically knowledgeable, but completely physically unaware of my being. And this reminds me of that. Of all the thoughts of the stuff, and then that connection at the end there, that yearning for artful prowess, where you know you get to a point where you just want you want to get it done, and you want somebody to know what the heck you're doing, because you don't want to deal with the piddly stuff, because you know horror stories, but there is a sweetness in this that I like, and I fully concur with that opening line, imagination, the sexiest part of our being. You know, I am fully sapiosexual. There's something about big-brained people. I've always kind of been not just a word girl, but a nerd girl. Love the smart guys. I mean, I like the hot guys, too. The mix is – hence Clark Kent, all about Clark Kent. And but I really enjoy – being able to have conversations on a multitude of topics and not have to dumb things down. I know that sounds horrible. It really does. When I said it out loud, it sounds horrible. But I live kind of in backwoods swamplands here in Florida, and there are a lot of people that we just were brought up different. And so I tend to have I use big words a lot, not for any other reason than I love words. I don't do it to be pretentious. And so I find myself paring down a lot of my conversations to not make others feel bad. And so there's something to be said about just being able to have a conversation and not give a crap, you know? And so I absolutely enjoy that. And the streams of love and I've never been free enough to have these commitment-free trysts. I I love the empowerment in them. I love the rites of passage that they seem to cross in empowering oneself sexually, male or female, doesn't matter, and seizing these moments. And I love the freedom in that. I love the way the tongue sweeps across the peaks and the squirming and where is it? This line in particular, Lady A, desire for skin on skin, finding pleasure in the sin we're in. I absolutely love that. And
thank you.
Rakentor, you're very welcome. Rakentor, what are your thoughts?
Oh, the appeal of innocence for me is the curiosity that it gets wrapped up in, the new sensations and the experience of it, to be able to share it with someone is very special, you know. So that's the idea of that sort of anticipation that I really like. You know, they call it a gift, that innocence that she speaks of, and you know, it's something that you. You know, there's an old joke, what's the difference between a virgin and a balloon? One prick and it's all over. I mean, the idea that, you know, sorry. I can't help myself.
Oh, do not apologize. You are good. This is the place. You are fine.
Yeah. So that idea, that thing that you can only give once, wrapped up in that anticipation, and being able to share it with someone that you care about, and to be able to hopefully maintain that and share that relationship, you know, for more than just that brief moment for that first time, is the ideal. But, you know, unfortunately, has never really been it's more the exception than the norm, is what I'm trying to say, because I don't know how many people marry the person that, you know, they're able to save their innocence, or the person that they marry and then stay married. It's a sad state, but, you know, it's the world that we live in, and yeah, I don't anticipate change in that field.
And Angel, what are your thoughts on the innocence of this piece?
Oh, I loved it. My favorite lines, maybe I'm weird, but my favorite lines were, I wonder, imagine what it's like to feel such passion. It's like she's with her lover, and she wonders what it's like to feel that passion. But then she gets it answered when she says, masterful finesse to sweetly caress the petals open. Like, dang, he knows what he's doing. My imagination and yeah. My anticipation just kind of blended in together. I thought
yeah.
It was wonderful.
It's kind of
much.
Like a dream come true, because she talks about dreaming about it at the beginning, and then it plays out beautifully. So excellent, excellent, excellent. And I am so excited about our next poem, like super excited, like so. Like I'm as excited about this next poem as I was about you calling in, Angel, because I'm doing a jig just the same way. Rex sent us a SoundCloud, and I'm so excited. I am, because I opened up my inbox. I was like, oh, look, I've got gifts. And so... up on the board is a poem by Intimidus Rex. Now, I have not read it. I have not listened. So I'm going to be as surprised as you are. And he's fabulous. And if I can just read this tiny thing that says the names of these, you know, SoundClouds on this little studio that apparently I'm losing my eyesight. Give me 1 second. Here it is. Okay, y'all see it? You guys see it on the board?
Yes.
You ready? Here we go.
She-Devil went down to Georgia. They could hear the rattle in her strut, that wiggle, viperesque, charming local adders into a writhing pandemonium of nipped heels from cow-poking, chest-thumping, horse manure spittoons. She was a rickshaw riot, grinning at a pit of fangless, undulating Winnebagos. 'Cause Those 9-inch nails were spiked contusions, two-stepping the suds in, bucketed fandangos, molten mystique. And he was a swallow of wings, silver-tipped in a charcoal Stetson, and Suede's hard bomb booted to the heat in her violet eyes. Then she asked, "Care to step all over this hair plantation and ravage my range with that beefy crop? You'll get nothing and lack it. How about a game of pool?" She rosined up his cue as he racked those balls. That tip was firm and blue and spitting sudden draws. Fire flew from lingual tricks, flashing crossed his skin. She-devil whips and licks, digging deep within. But then the music stopped. That box was on the fritz. It seemed the mood had flopped. She was about to lose the blitz. Charcoal quartered up that cue and slid some silver in. Smoky eyes filled with the breath she drew as the dance would now begin. There's savagery on the table. Run, girl, run. Old Charcoal's packing a loaded gun. The roost in the hen house holding sway. That cock crowing to the light of day. Gunfire filled the room as she took that blast. When another round did bloom, she knew she couldn't last. There was fire in her mountain, and then her lava flowed, streaming as a fountain on the 45 she rode. There's savagery on the table, run, girl, run. Old Charcoal's back in a loaded gun. The roost in the hen house holding sway, that cock crowing to the light of day. He left her upon that table. The she-devil had been beat. It was the beginning of a fable that she would oft repeat. The savage on the table, run, girl, run. Old Charcoal's packing the loaded gun. The roost in the hen house holding sway. The cock crowing to the light of day. Keep picking them strings, mama. You ain't going nowhere.
Oh, look at Sexy Rexy. This is awesome. I love that he serenaded us. I love that he pulled out the drawl. I love that there is a little back and forth kind of banter in this that really kind of worked for me. Care to step all over this here plantation? You'll get nothing to like it. All righty then. Yay, I'm so excited. And then he gets into all of this. He stayed in character so well, but he never says anything outright. But let me tell you what, gunfire filled the room as she took that blast. And, you know, and when another round did bloom, she knew she couldn't last. Well, take it, girl, because damn. And, the rooster's in the hen house holding sway. That cock crowing to the light of day. Rexy, you can just sing to me anytime you want to. So,
Yeah, baby. Oh, sorry.
And Angel, what are your thoughts on the sexy side?
Well,
of
first of all, that southern drawl, oh baby, my knees would melt like butter. I mean, wow, yeah, that's one of my triggers is the southern drawl. But that was so sexy. I mean, he had such a play on words, such a sexy play on words, and it was just, I mean, he would charm the pants right off of anybody.
I'm telling
any
you.
Any female within walking distance, he would charm the pants right off of them.
Pants, panties, whatever.
Whatever. Yeah, it was, that was wonderful.
And it was and it was like this whole like sexy story, like it was this complete thing. I just absolutely loved this. I really especially loved, and he was a swallow of wings. Well, I'm just gonna claim it because you know I'm pretty bird. I've got wings. And I'm just saying, we won't discuss the swallowing. Well, at least not currently. But again, yeah. I'm just saying. So rock and tour. Before I get myself in trouble, what are your thoughts?
Too late. You're already in trouble. Yeah, I love the wordplay throughout this, and the song title references and the snippets of lyrics from the song. I mean, it's a fantastic story, well told to be one of those, what's the word that I like to use? You know, it's almost a bait and switch where, you know, you think someone's describing one thing, but they really could be describing something else. And, you know, you could take this on its face and it works just as well as if you want to read into it and chuck your cue stick, as it were. He did, you know, his usual fantastic job, amazing read. I can't compete with that.
You know, when he slips into character and does his thing, you know, it's not a competition. It's all wonderful entertainment with, you know, warm sound effects. So, Lady A, what are your thoughts on this hot little piece?
Well, I thought it was excellent. It was brilliant. I loved his southern drawl. I just said brilliant, saucy, sultry, sensuality, southern style. Fantastic pen. And it was great to hear from him, too.
I'm so excited. Today is such an exciting day. I am loving this show. And, you know, there is something to be said about a drawl. Now, a drawl is different than a twang to me and levels of sexiness. And because, you know, there are many places in the South and thereabouts that have many different accents. And some are easier to discern than others. I like a nice slow drawl. I like... I'm not a big fan. What was that?
It makes you anticipate what he's going to say next.
A little bit. I have a friend of mine that one day, I swear I'm going to get him to call this show. He has the smoothest voice, and he's got a little bit of a drawl. And when he forgets himself, he's got a really big drawl, but he has a little bit of a drawl. I'm just like, just talk. I don't care. You read me the phone book. You are good. Just whisper it in my ears. You growl it at me. You're all right. And go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say a southern drawl for me, that's a penny dropper. I mean, get a man to talk to me in a southern drawl and I'll be like, take me now. I don't even care where. Just take me now.
It's funny. I grew up in South Florida, and Florida is a mix of a bunch of folks from all over the world and a bunch of people from the Everglades. Now, the old Florida people have a very distinctive swampy twang, and sometimes it's a little hard to discern if they talk fast, says the girl that talks a mile a minute. But if it's hard for me, it's hard. But my first live encounter with that Georgia drawl, I was 12 years old. He was 14. I still know him. Beautiful little blonde kid, these blue eyes, a little twinkle of hell in them. Whew. And then he had a voice like Froggy. Like he was this tiny little thing, but he talked like this. And I was just like, whew, still does. Anyway, he's not so tiny now. And I was just like, I loved his voice. I absolutely loved his voice. I think that I would go out of my way to talk to him just to ask him questions to hear him talk back at me. And I don't even know that I realized I did that until we hadn't spoken for like 6 or 7 years. And we got on the phone. I was like, oh, there's that voice. And I did the same thing. Just ask him a simple question because I know he'd get to talk. And I'll just sit there going, because it does something. It really does. When it resonates just right, especially, you can just, you know, I don't think that they know how powerful that is, because, you know, it does things. You're right. And so is it the same rack for women with a drawl?
Yeah, I think so. But, you know, like you say, it has to be there's the difference between the smooth one and the cadence of it. I don't know.
And it has a lot to do with the person as well, because there's a whole lot of leeway, you know, depending on the vibe you get in general from the person who's speaking. But
attitude behind sometimes, you know, is what I think is what tips it over the edge, because, you know, there's that, well, bless her heart. When they're doing that, it's like, you know, oh, my God, you get the wrong kind of chill. It's like you shrivel up, you know. But you know, when they're like, you know, would you like some sweet tea or something, that's like that welcoming, like, you know, all of a sudden you perk up. So, I don't know. There's a mood involved in it. It's hard to put my finger on it.
It's funny because I have a thing. I was born in Brooklyn, grew up in Florida, and I would go to back to New York every summer with my mom, and then sometimes we'd split the summer and go to Puerto Rico for my dad's family. But I was in New York a lot, and the only thing that I had this love-hate relationship, because I don't consider myself very country, but I do say y'all. I say y'all. I say all y'all, I say yank, and that's about as country as I get. But the first time the first time I ever heard the plural of you to not be y'all and to be used with an S was in Brooklyn, and I was like, that I cannot abide that. I am so sorry. And I was 14. Like, how you doing? You who, what? Because that particular word to me is not sexy. It just has no flow to it. I don't mind a Brooklyn accent. There's something a little Italian mob about it from all the movies. So I don't mind that little bit of dangerous in that. But it doesn't pull me like a drawl does, like just a full-on liquid sex vibe. I knew a guy, deepest voice I ever heard, and when he was tired and full-on drawl, and when he was tired, it was all a growl, like it was all, like, I can feel it in my chest on the phone. I'm just like, oh, don't ever let me meet you, I swear, you will be in trouble. I was like, know what you're in for if you ever make it across my threshold, because you won't be able to stop me. I'm just saying. Like, you'd have to duct tape your mouth shut just to have a chance. Because, you know, the second that it vibrates in person, well, savagery, ravagery, you know, whatever you want to call it, would be ensuing. Mm-hmm. And right? So those are my thoughts on, you know, a twang. And I'll tell you what. Another accent that does it for me, and I'm very, very, very specific about regions in this, which makes me, I don't know, ridiculous, because I know I'm ridiculous, but there are certain British accents that I just don't even want to listen to. And then there are some of them that I'm just like, okay. And I know this kid, and when I say kid, I mean, he is 10 days older than my oldest son. And I was like, listen, you have to talk to me like you're in the city with your people, because I hate that accent. Don't talk to me the way you talk to me, because I feel kind of vile because it's hot and you're like a kid. And, and he just like laughs at me. He's so funny. But and I like a deep voice, apparently, because they all have deep voices. It's the deep voices that get me. But when it is a very it's not the uppity accent, and it's not the Cogni accent. I can't stand that accent where they chop up everything. It's kind of a mid-grade accent that is just lovely. And I'm just like, oh, here, say this, and here, say that. And he's like, sometimes I hate talking to you. I was like, I love you too. But, you know, when you have these accents, it just works. But, you know, what's the most beautiful language you guys have ever heard?
I personally love a British accent for me is just like, oh, I think they talk so beautifully.
They do. I'm not a big fan of the ones from Liverpool, because they have a weird way of saying O's that kind of messes with my brain. And I'm not a big fan of London Street and North London where they chop up the words, but kind of the middle of all that where it's, I kind of love the sound of it. I love the inflections. I love how their words, British English as opposed to American English is placed completely differently in the mouth. Like all of their sounds are very glottal. It's in your throat. And American English, we're very much right behind our teeth at the tip of our tongue.
Yeah.
And it's a subtlety that it resonates different. And it's just, it kind of lulls you in the inflections of it. The most beautiful language I have ever heard, I was in college, and there's this kid, Nikki, and he was from Cyprus. And he didn't have much of an accent. He had a little bit of an accent, but I couldn't place it because that's a weird accent. But then he said something to me in whatever they speak in Cyprus, and it's not Greek, it's whatever they speak in Cyprus. And I was just like, I don't know what the hell that was. You can be telling me off. I don't care, but just say it again. And he's just like, oh, Lord. And we were working on a project. I was just, somebody speak to me in English. We're fine. I will do all the work. Just talk to me. Just people watch and whisper in my ear. We are good. It is just a lovely, smooth language where, like, the Slavic languages tend to be very kind of abrupt. This was just beautiful and graceful. And, like, I grew up with Spanish and Italian, and there's nothing wrong with them. They're fine, but they're familiar to me. And this wasn't. And I was just like, what the heck is that? It's like magic. I'm just like, I'm a sucker like everybody else. You know?
When we say magic, I think of the Irish brogue. It makes me think of pixies.
You know, and again, with the Irish, there are two types of accents that I can discern, and I don't know what to call them. But one of them is very hard to understand. It's very thick. It's very chopped up. It's very, can you slow that down and speak to me in syllables? And then the other one is all, you know, Lucky Charms, but lighter. And I kind of like that one, you know, where it's light on your tongue and it's not as, I don't know, the other one sounds kind of angry to me. Weird, isn't it? I'm like, you know, people talk how they talk, and I kind of love it all. I love the subtleties and nuances and everything. But, you know, people have a preference to what leads into, you know, how their ear goes. And I just find that so interesting. But I have Rackentor. I have you up on the board. You've been there for a while. I've just been talking away because I tend to talk. And this is...
I think the French have a beautiful language. It's very light.
You. Go ahead.
It's very light and it's very sensual. And the accent when spoken, speaking English, is just as in appealing, I think. It's a very soft and romantic language. And it's well. And anyways, that's my favorite accent and language.
It's there's something, being one of the romance languages, there's something that is very sexy about a French accent in English, you know, like when they're speaking English. The only problem that I have, and I've been teaching myself French for a little while, and, you know, there's a very subtle, everything is a little phlegmy. Because, again, it's glottal and it's nasal. And the difference between the E-N, the O-N, the I-N, and it all sounds the same because they're very, very subtly different. Drives me stinking nuts because it's so hard to get. Now, I can do the glottal R's and all of that, but I couldn't, you know, unless I speak it absolutely wrong to make those distinctions in my own brain so that I learned the words. And it drives me nuts because they're so similar. There's a subtlety to it. But I think it's those very things, those little delicate shifts that actually make that language pretty. But Rackentor is now on the board. And again, with these pictures, I love a neck. Let me tell you what. I have a picture of a guy's neck. Literally, it is a jawline and a neck with an Adam's apple. And it's not a big, ugly Adam's apple. Like, some of them just look like they need some flesh over their bones. It is. I just you know, a nice neck just makes me hungry. Like I need to bite it. I tend to bite things, and a good neck is one of them. But so that's so you are up on the board. Y'all see him?
Yep.
Okay. So let me go ahead and hit play. If I can find it. The heck? Oh, I have to refresh my thing, I think. Give me a second. I'm not slow. It's fine. It is. Here we go.
Contact by raconteur. I know what you want, but not just yet. Let the thought fester as you wait for what comes next. I revel in methodically bearing your secrets, causing the room to fill with the scent of your body's betrayal. Tonight is about patience, both yours and mine. Only my ministrations hold the key to open your floodgates and release the beast raging within. You are my orchard, blooming for me to harvest your fruit. You are my orchestra, swelling as I conduct your symphony. You are my bounty, and I feast upon your sustenance. Drunk on the elixir of you, I lose all track of time as I answer your body's pleas. Your voice rises in glorious agony as you are slowly overcome by the storm building within. Eager to be relieved of your body's building burden, you writhe at the touch of my tongue and beneath my fingertips. Your eyes glow black like polished onyx, and your head flails helplessly like a feather in the wind. The sound of thunder in your ears heralds the honeyed tears of ecstasy that erupt from your core. You tremble with the aftershocks of relief as the chill air kisses you, and I cradle you in the safety of my embrace. End poem.
So like the gravelly bits of that voice right there. That's like some hot shit. I'm just saying that, and that tease, that opening line, that little playfulness. You know what? I know what you want, but not just yet. Oh, you're killing me! I absolutely love that. That, you know, where you kind of dance on that line, where you kind of rise and back off and rise and back off and until they're clawing at you when you read the part that says drunk on the elixir of you, stunning by the way, I lose all track of time as I answer your bodies, and you read it normal like please, but in my head I heard please, like the begging of just do it already. And I absolutely love that. Because that is where the joy is. That is where things are prolonged. That is where when you take the time to listen to your partner, you've got that magic that happens. And it's absolutely a symphony. It is absolutely being played like a fiddle where you can read those staff lines and staccato breaths blurred notes, and it's gorgeous. But this line right here, with the scent of your body's betrayal, you know, I think as women, I'm sure guys do too, but I don't have the requisite parts to speak for that specific gender. With the scent of your body's betrayal, first of all, how many of us have kind of hated that somebody makes us physically react when we don't want to? Like, it is just sometimes that animal magnetism, that primal, it comes out of nowhere when you least expect it and don't really want it, because sometimes sexy is just sexy. You're like, damn it. And you can't deny these things. And if you're in a place where you didn't think things were going to happen and things start happening because your body reacts to things and you're in these intimate places where it is not quite, you know, doesn't necessarily have to go that way, but it might, you can't even say no because things start to waft in the most beautiful primal way, and your body betrays you. You're like, no, I don't. And they're like, really? Because I think you're wrong. And I, you know, so I love that line. I love it, love it, love it, love it. And you are, tonight is about patience, both yours and mine, or running the edge of that patience till they can't stand it and want to crawl through your skin, because that's what this sounds like. And it is just a fabulous tease, a fabulous almost but not yet. I know you want it, but wait your turn. And I love the playfulness in that opening line that makes the rest of it sound so deliberate. You know, so this was hot as Hades. Lady A, what are your thoughts on this little bit of contact?
Well, I think that although a southern drawl is very attractive, I think Rack's sexy voice and tone are every bit as attractive and alluring. And this piece is a lovely piece, and it comes from someone with, the honesty and the gentleness of a gentleman. I really liked it.
Oh, that was
thank
so beautiful. And Angel, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I loved it. First of all, in that tone of voice that he read it, wow, I mean, talk about voice. I mean, wow. See, I'm all stuttering now. I think the whole thing was just wonderfully, wonderfully written. In every line that he wrote, it's like he's showing wonderful restraint, but he only restrains up to a point, and then once the restraint is... Once he sets himself free from the restraint, then they're both in for something wonderful and magical. I mean, it's just so wonderfully sexy. He did an outstanding job.
Yeah, that's why we keep him around. You know, he's there with all the funny little interludes, and then he brings the heat like nobody's business. He has a few little modes of sexy, and it's this one that growls just a little bit, that puts you in that mood where the lights are low and the talk is electric, where you almost want him to read some sexy poetry just in that voice where there's no other sounds, and it fills the room with that little bit of gravel in that voice. And when he drops it to that low, smooth, I mean, whoo. It is definitely something. Talk about somebody's betrayal. But absolutely awesome. This is beautifully vibrant, and it's almost tactile. And that's saying something for some words on a page. And I know that we have a little bit of time, so I'm going to throw another one up there if I can remember what the heck the name of it is, because I was looking at it earlier. And,
guys, I hate to run out on you guys, but I have to be at work early in the morning, and so I have better call it a night. But I had so much fun. It was just wonderful to hear everybody live and in person, and I had a blast.
Oh, I am so glad, and I'm so thrilled that you called and wrote for us. It was just lovely. It was just really quite amazing. Thank you for making my night. You're awesome.
You guys have a good night, and we'll talk to you later.
Absolutely,
good night.
Me too. Thank
yes,
you.
Bye bye.
Bye. And that leaves you and I, Mr. Raconteur, and Bruno has a piece, and he said he is going to try to call in. So we're going to hang out here for a while, see if he can go ahead and do that. And he just messaged a little while ago saying that he had to do a little something first, and then he was going to call us. So we're going to do that. And I cannot remember the name of the poem. And I know the one it is because I wrote it for Lutney for Hell Week. And I don't know if you remember, that was also the night of your tribute show, and I was 4 hours out of surgery and hopped up on drugs. So I don't remember. I know I read it. Don't really remember much of that entire evening, except for that I was a little loopy, and apparently I was a little funny because y'all were laughing at me. So
we left with you, not at you.
Call it what you will. I have to dig it up. I thought I had saved it. I probably saved it on my phone. How many months ago was that? October, November, December, January, February, March, May, June, July. Okay, so that's 10 months. Probably would have been a lot quicker to just go from August to October instead of counting on my fingers like a child, but it's okay.
Yeah.
It is here. Oh, this is going to drive me nuts. So talk to me about anticipation. Now, tell me about not just all those little precursors, but those moments that catch you by surprise, that's like instant liquid heat, like that kind of animal primal magnetism that hits you off guard when you meet somebody or cross somebody's path where the pheromones are in the air. Because there's something to be said about that, too.
Sorry.
You're all right.
Did we lose Lady A?
Yeah, she had to go. So it's you and I. And oh. I am looking for that. We're waiting for
Bud, hopefully.
Bud, yes. This is going to drive me nuts that I can't remember the name of his
moment. Moments of anticipation, so now we're anticipating Bud calling.
Yes. Yes, we are. I'm just going to look it up on my phone because I think I left it open. And okay, let me see. Okay, is it this one?
No.
You would think that I would be prepared, and I was on my phone, but not, oh. Like I
you were prepared because you were going to read the one that Titus read.
That is true, but that was a wonderful surprise. Here it is. It was 9 months, and I'm going to put this on the board, and I'm going to read. This is more is more, because sometimes it feels that way. And and click that. It's short. It's not too long.
I remember.
Give it to me. Just like that. Silken words glide against my skin, inspiring in sparks of wonder. Give it to me where satin ink curls ribbons and midnight penmanship, rallying passionate thought carved with intelligent quips. Give it to me in laughter that hums in aromatic arias, decadent by design, made to lure and cure what ails. Give it to me outright. Bathe me in the beauty of lyrical romance, getting lost in the scent of a scene painted in a smooth voice. Give it to me just like that.
Yeah. I love this piece. That expression, as I mentioned in my comment, it's not the statement. It's. Yeah. I mean.
You're a little tongue-tied tonight there, right?
Yeah. I'm feeling my voice when I'm trying to talk. and it's bothering me. Almost like I have a bit of a frog in my throat. But every time I get revved up to speak, I keep wanting to clear my damn throat. Anyway, give it to me just like that.
Mm-hmm. Just like that. Because there's something to be said about, you know, an ease of communication where you can say, you know, a little to the left or right there or just like that, or, you know, where it's more than a don't stop in the moment in the throes of passion at the end of the ride. It's those little subtleties, those little, I said subtleties a lot tonight, but it's true. It's those where the inhibitions fall away, where there is trust enough to know that that direction isn't that you think they are inept. It's that, you know, it makes for the best experience on both sides. And that requires a certain level of trust. And trust, in my opinion, as difficult as that is to maintain in any relationship or friendship, it is probably the sexiest thing, because that's where that freedom to just be comes in. That's where it doesn't matter if you've got, you know, extra fleshy bits, you know, because there ain't nothing wrong with being a little soft in the middle. We're good. And where that full acceptance comes in, because it's not about the skin, but about the soul, not to be all existential about it. But it's just more than that. You kind of outgrow that. And like we said earlier, it's that kind of intellectual attraction that kind of feeds everything. So there's just more to passion and sexiness than, you know, a couple of well-placed, you know, deposits of fat. And even though, you know, it doesn't hurt to have the goods, but it's not the end-all be-all of anything at all. And it's not where passion arises. And it took,
you know,
how to
make 13 pounds of fat sexy, right?
Go ahead.
Put a nipple on it.
OMG.
Sorry.
So talking about boobs, when my kids were little, they were in the Cub Scouts. And so my oldest one is almost exactly 6 years older than the next one. And then I have, you know, two kids born just over a year apart. And so when I was there, and I had one still in diapers and one just out of diapers. The one that was just out of diapers was constantly, "Why do your boobs look like a butt?" And I was just like, "What?" And but, oh yeah, because, you know, I am, yes, amply endowed, and they were all whatever. And it was hot. It was summer. We were camping, and I was in a tank. I'm one of those ones that have those like, little spaghetti straps. So it's not that anything was hanging out, but everything was, you know, evident.
Yeah.
And just as loud as can be in the middle of all these other parents, "Why do your boobs look like a butt?" I was like, "Because I'm lucky," you know. But I was just like, "What?" But no, he was absolutely right. They look like a butt. It's absolutely hysterical. I would never have made that analogy, you know, from the mouth of babes.
When if you take your fingertip and you touch your shoulder, and then photograph the crook of your arm, if you crop it right, it looks just like cleavage.
I'm telling you that, but there's something to be said about skin meets skin. And it doesn't matter how benign it is, whether it's the inside of your elbow or behind your knee. I think the most overlooked erogenous zone on the female body is behind the knee. And that is what?
The brain.
No, well, yeah, but no. It's behind the knee. I mean, if you are if you are trailing things to get to a certain location and you just drag your tongue behind the knee on your way, let me tell you what, that is an amplifier. That just makes you aware of everything. And again, your body will betray you in the most delicious way. But most people just don't take that slow ride to anywhere. Mm-hmm. People like to just, you know, get to the good stuff. But you can't overlook the journey. It's not just about the destination. There is something to be said. Okay, here's how sad my world has become, where everybody thinks that being kind or friendly is flirting. Okay, you know that society's a little bit jacked up because I'm like, hey, how you doing? And people are like, get away from my man, dude. I do not want your man. Exactly. Believe me. Yes. I just said hello. Have a nice day. Get over yourself. But by that same token, when the guy goes out of the way to be like a traditional gentleman, to open up your door, to push in your seat, it's to the point where if some guy goes to push in your seat, you're like, oh, wait, hold on a second. What are you doing? You know, because you're not used to it. When they open the door, especially if they're holding an umbrella and whatnot, you're just like, okay. Because it's nice. It's just, it's a very lovely thing to be chivalrous or to be, you know, a gentleman, to be all those. Everybody now in this land of instant gratification and empowerment and whatever, everybody wants to be, they don't want to be beholden to anybody. They don't want to think they need people. This isn't about what you need. This isn't about a right or wrong thing. It's just about kindness and respect. And there is something really sexy about being treated well and without having to. You what?
You go to push. I go to push in a woman's chair these days. I get, what are you doing behind me?
Exactly. Because, you know, the world is not the kindest place. But there's something to be said for all of those little things that you don't have to ask for. I mean, why don't you open the door for me? And then they open the door, it doesn't mean anything. But when they are always there and just by their nature, you know, open the door for you or walk around the car to unlock your shit first, you know, instead of getting in the car, leaving you out there to be ravaged in the weather and then opening it from the inside, that's not okay, you know? And there's just something to be said, and all of those little things stack the deck in the guy's favor. All of those little bits of chivalry, kindness, gentlemanliness, respect really will set a mood more than anything else. The tone with which a man speaks to a woman is probably one of the first things you can do to lay a foundation for an interlude. And conversely, what I find really interesting is in my own experience, just to be clear, when I get snippy, that's what does it. Because I can be nice, I can be sexy, I can be all, I can purr like a kitten, but if I'm all... people are just like, come here. What the heck is wrong with you? This is not my sexy talk. And, but it happens, and it is the oddest reaction ever. And the first time it ever happened to me, I was 19, and I lost my shit. I was like, I'm trying to tell you off, and you're yelling. What are you doing? And I like slammed the door and had to leave and had to call from a payphone because, you know, this was not 2 years ago. And so they, you know, I had to call from a payphone and then have a conversation and so that we can discuss it because I couldn't look him in the face and talk because he was full on in ravage mode and it was pissing me off because I was genuinely bothered and that was turning him on and I never understood it. But apparently it's a thing because it's happened a lot. And I'm just like, what the heck is wrong with you people? That is not sexy. That is not who I want to be. Having said that, it leads then to other little, you know, fantasies and foreplay and things that can lead very much that way. So I guess there's something to be said for all those little things that if you pay attention to the conversations you have, the inflections, the way their breath quickens, you can then read into future interludes and where to push the envelope a little bit or step outside of your comfort zone. So there is something to be said about the art of listening. And it is 11:54. So I'm going to go over. What?
I just looked myself. That's funny.
So I am going to go all over to our sister site, A Team of Voices, and see what is on the agenda for this week, because I know that it is Personal Prep Monday, 10 o'clock with Miss Deborah Lee. So go to the topic board and check out her Monday prompts. Tuesday, and I am loving this, Tuesday is Sky at 8 o'clock, and she's got Down the Tube, where she picks these random things on YouTube. And not for nothing, I was looking at this stuff, and I have this love of stress blankie, i.e. bubble wrap, and she's got the history of bubble wrap on there, and I'm all like, I might have to write. I'll do my best to record it, because me and early shows are not friends, because my house is full, and that's the loud time, especially since that's going to be the first day of school, so my kids will be crazy. But I will do my best to write for that show. I don't know if there is something on Wednesday this week, because I don't see it on the schedule, but Thursday is Miss Sweet Pea, and I suppose I should just pull up the schedule and actually look instead of pulling it out of my butt, because I'm not very good at that. So we have coming up, we have Sky. Crystal is at 9 o'clock on Wednesday, and we'll have to check the topic board for her topic. And Thursday's Sweet Discussions with our Sweet Pea is her soapbox show all about elephants. And I'm kind of excited about Friday night's unbirthday party with Hatter, because that sounds interesting. And then, of course, on Saturday is the Think Tank with Hatter, AP, and Miss Deborah Lee. I don't know why I keep on saying her name full on, you know? Like, I hope that, because I like it, you know, Miss Deborah Lee. There's just something kind of Southern and regal about it. I mean, I guess she's a Jersey girl, but there's still something Southern and regal about it. I like that. And then next Sunday is another of our shows. I have no clue what the topic is, because we're just finishing up with this one. So with that, I am going to say thank you so much, Rack. What?
Don't you have an Under the Bus coming up?
That's not till the following week, on the 17th. But so I went all through this week.
Sunday.
Yeah, but I also said I have no clue, because we're still on this one. So I'll only do 1 week in advance, simply because I can't keep anything straight past that, and I barely got this one straight. I had to look at the calendar. And because I am not all together all the time. I am not that girl. I don't pretend to be that girl. It is just not who I am. I'm a little absent-minded. It happens. But you were a fabulous wingman, and I appreciate it. And I kind of wish Miss Sweet Pea could have made an appearance. But, you know, she was out of town, so she didn't get to make it in. But we missed you, Miss Sweet, and she will be here next week, and it's going to be
fun. We anticipate her return.
Yes, we do. And it'll be a lot of fun. You are awesome. I had a great time. Thank you. Thank you especially to Intimidus Rex and Angel. I'm so wonderfully and pleasantly and excitedly surprised that Miss Angel called us and hung out with us, and that Rex got all sexy, because that was amazing. And Deb and Lady A, and you guys are awesome. Thank you for writing and joining the show. And thank you to Bud for writing, but he didn't get a chance to call in, but we'll hold it for next week. So if he called in, then he can go ahead and read that for us, because that'll be amazing. So you guys have a wonderful evening, and we will catch you next week. Good night.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.